If you're a Christian today, you've got a divine blueprint attached to your soul.
Dr. Tony Evans says even though God's truth has been planted inside us, that's not enough.
But in order for your soul to be delivered, the seed must expand.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When you plant seeds, they grow. If they don't, something's wrong. Today, Dr. Evans talks about the seed of God's Word and what to do if it's not expanding inside you. Let's join him.
Many of us are living life with a distorted view. Our souls are distorted. They're born that way. They're born having been contaminated by an old sin nature, and they do not have a clear picture. The soul is the you. It's made up of the mind, the emotions, and the will. That's you. We call it personality. You are not your body. Your body is merely the house that contains the you. The you is called the soul. The problem is all of our souls are defected at birth. And based on our experiences, based on the information we take in, based on the pain that we have in our lives, or even the positive things that happen to us, it affects how squiggly our souls may get. But make no mistake about it, every soul of every human being is distorted. And because it's distorted, what you think you see, you don't fully see. It just appears that way. When God saved you, when you came to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift, the free gift of eternal life, He did a marvelous thing for you. He saved you. He immediately guaranteed you heaven. The moment you trusted Christ, He immediately guaranteed you heaven. That is a guarantee for every believer, a salvation you can never lose. But what is automatic for heaven is progressive for history. In other words, God saved you for heaven completely, but He saves you on earth progressively. You are on your way to heaven if you died today going home, if you have trusted Jesus Christ. Heaven is your destiny. But it's possible to be delivered for heaven and undelivered for history. Because the contaminated soul has to be changed progressively. The Bible calls this sanctification, the progressive transformation of the soul. Now, let me tell you what most people settle for. Most people settle for soul management instead of soul transformation. In other words, they try to make their souls, their personalities better. They make commitments, they attend seminars, they make New Year's resolutions, all well-meaning to be better people, to have a better soul. The only problem with that is that the soul can't fix the soul because the soul can't even see the soul clearly. The soul has been damaged by this thing called sin, so you can maybe manage it better than the person you're sitting next to. You may have better self-control and a better determination, and maybe they are all messed up in a way that you're not because their already distorted soul got more distorted by an abusive father or maybe a poverty or maybe a racial situation that they were engaged in. But even though it varies in the extent of distortion that our souls have had, our souls are all distorted and are therefore undependable. You can't depend on you to be you. That's why you hear a lot of people say, I'm looking for myself. Which is an interesting comment, because if you're looking for you, how do you know when you find you if you don't know who you are? That means you don't even know what you're looking for. The bacteria of sin that was transferred by the old sin nature was distributed throughout our soul and expanded within the context of our lives. The soul needs fixing. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens over time. This correcting of our souls. The Bible says, in order for your soul to be saved, delivered in history, not to my heaven, it's to my history, then that soul has got to be transformed. And in order for that soul to be transformed, that soul has to be brought to the cross. That soul has to die. You've got to deliver your soul to the cross in order to experience a resurrection. No cross, no resurrection. God wants to change us by transforming us, not simply making us better managers of us. That's why he says in James chapter 1, receive, verse 21, the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Receive the word, watch this, that's already been planted inside of you. Implant. That is able to save your soul. So today I'm going to talk to you about saving your soul, saving my soul. But you say, I'm already saved. No, not in this way you're not. Please notice verse 19. He says, if you want a transformed soul, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Let's get you set up for it being done. You must be quick to hear. Quick to hear what? Quick to hear God's point of view. Because we're getting ready to talk about the word in a moment. You must be quick to hear God's thoughts on a matter. You are to be slow to speak. Slow to speak what? Your thoughts on a matter. Then be slow to anger. Why must I be slow to anger? Because what you are quick to hear, God's point of view, and slow to speak, your point of view, is going to tick you off. Because a lot of things God says, you won't like. You won't prefer. You won't want. You will say, God, I don't like what you're telling me right now. Be slow to get upset about the conflict that will come between being quick to hear what God thinks, slow to speak what you and your friends think, which will create a crisis that will may cause you to react in a way you shouldn't react, because the anger of men does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Your throwing temper tantrums won't change anything.
But there is something that will change everything. And Dr. Evans will tell us about it when he comes back in a moment to continue this message from his series, Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. This two-volume, 12-lesson collection will teach you to use the power God gave you to set healthy new directions for your marriage, your family, your work, and every other area of your life. There's no reason to spend even one more day letting Satan call the shots. So until Thursday, we're offering this popular series as our thank you gift to those who can help keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. Don't miss your chance to take advantage of this special offer. Visit TonyEvans.org today, make your contribution online, and let us send you your copy of Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority. We also have staff members standing by in our resource center to help you. Give them a call at 1-800-800-3222, any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information later on, after part two of today's lesson and this.
Only in theaters, April 29th and 30th, Dr. Tony Evans explains why a man isn't a real man until he's a kingdom man.
I am passionate about the teaching of the Bible on what it means to be a man, because we've got far too much errant information telling us what manhood should be.
Kingdom Men Rising shatters stereotypes and paints a real-life picture of manhood at its best, teaching men to keep promises instead of secrets, to rebuild lives and not just engines, to follow Jesus more closely than football.
This is going to be a great opportunity for men to be challenged at a whole nother level.
Kingdom Men Rising with Tony Evans, along with Troy Vincent, John Kitna, Tony Dungy, Tim Brown, Kirk Franklin, Priscilla Shire, and many others. Coming to theaters April 29th and 30th. Visit TonyEvans.org for locations and showtimes.
He then comes, having set the groundwork, And he says in verse 21, putting aside all filthiness, all the remains of wickedness, identifying sin, the thing that is against God's righteousness, verse 20, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Now he says there is a manual to tell you how to fix your soul. But it's going to take humility to go to it, because you're going to have to say to yourself, self, you don't have the last word today. Self doesn't like to hear that self is not in charge. Self rebels against the fact that self doesn't get to call the last shot. When Adam decided that self, how I think, is going to overrule God and how he thinks, self went south. Self died. Self had struggle because self overruled seed. Receive the word implanted. That implant is the new nature. The old nature died when you accepted Christ. The new nature was imparted, like a pregnant woman who has a seed. Every believer has a seed, an implant of the divine nature, which is the very word of God planted inside of them. It is the blueprint of deity that has been placed in your soul. If you're a Christian today, you've got a divine blueprint, divine DNA deposited, implanted, attached to your soul. But in order for your soul to be delivered, saved, the seed of the new nature must expand. The reason we aren't changing like the way we're supposed to be changing, hear from sermons we ought to be changing, is because the seed is not expanding. And there's only one thing that keeps the seed from expanding: the dominance of the soul. When the self life overrules the seed life, then the seed won't grow. Once Adam decided, God, I heard what you said about the tree, but I have my own thoughts about the matter. I heard what you said about the tree, but I'm going to choose another approach to this thing. Once the soul kicked in and overrode the spirit, God will let the soul override the spirit. But once the soul overrode the spirit, then the soul took over and the self-life went into chaos. And many of us are living with chaos of the soul that we're taking medicine for. Chaos of the soul that we're paying a lot of money for professional counseling for. Chaos of the soul that we're talking to our friends all night on the phone about, hoping that something will relieve us from chaos of the soul. But you don't understand, there's only one instrument that God ever created to address soul chaos. God must separate the diamond from the dust. This two-edged sword is both destructive and constructive. It tears down so it can build up. It'll cut you and hurt you so that it can correct you and heal you, but only if it penetrates to the heart. Because the word of God is a sword. It reminds me of the old lumberjack. This man was old as Methuselah. He comes to a lumberjack company to chop down trees, and he saw the foreman. He said, I want to become a lumberman. I want to be a lumberjack. I want to chop down some trees. He said, man, you're too old to chop down trees. He said, no, I'm not. He said, man, you're too old and too feeble and too weak to chop down trees. The old man said, let me show you. He took the lumber supervisor out there and chopped down a huge tree in record time. The owner said, where you learn to chop like that? Where you learn to chop with your old self? How you learn to chop down a tree that big, with that heavy an axe that fast? The man said, well, have you ever heard of the Sahara Forest? He said, the Sahara Forest? He said, you mean the Sahara Desert? He said, that's what they call it now. What I'm trying to say is God been around for a while, and he been chopping down stuff, and he been mowing down stuff, and I don't care how much stuff has grown up in the soul, the word of God can go, and he can attack the stuff that has grown up in the soul if the word that is embedded is received. He says in James chapter 1, Prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers only, who delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, its natural face, that is the face of his birth, in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten the kind of person that he was. He says, let me tell you how to get the word to work. It's not just hearing sermons. It's not just reading your Bible in the morning. Mm-mm. It's got to get down into the soul, separating soul and spirit, and penetrate the heart, the core of your being. He says, use it like a mirror, but not like a man using a mirror, like a woman using a mirror. He says, a man, the Greek word man there is the word for male. He says, men go to the mirror, look, and quickly turn away. That's how most people apply the word of God. Let me go hear a sermon and go. Let me go read some verses a day and go. He says, if that's how you use the word, you'll never be changed by it, because you won't have received it. You won't have received the word implanted. How should I look at the mirror? Here it is, verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but effectual doer, that man is blessed in whatever he does. James here uses one of John's favorite words, abiding. That's the word. Say abiding. That's the word you want. That's the word you want. That word, when you approach the word, looking intently or abiding. Jeremiah 15, 16, I found your word and I ate it. Okay. Chewing gum. I see some people chewing gum right now. This sister on the front row. Chewing gum. Don't put your head down. It's the one with the white pants and the pink shoes and the pink and white shoes. God, thank you for giving me an illustration right in the middle of the service. But you're not the only one. Because inside of that stick is some juice. It's juicy fruity. Inside that stick is some juice. And you know what you want to do? You want to suck out all that juice. In other words, you're not going to take a bite and let it go. You're going to chew that thing till all the juice is gone. You're going to suck it for everything it's worth. And then even after stuff is gone, you're going to be going around nom, 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 chewing some more. Why? That's abiding with your gum. In other words, you're not going to let that gum go till what is to be sucked out is sucked out. You're not going to let it go because you want to extract from it all it was designed to deliver. So you are abiding. You are hanging out with it till you get from it what it offers. That's why David talks about, I think about the word day and night. He went to work like everybody else. He's a king. He's got a busy schedule. But his mindset kept that thing in front of him. It kept that thing on his mind. It kept that thing focused on him. And he was changed by it. So if you hear a sermon and if you read a text, that's good, that's important, that's graphe, that's a rhema. But what you want is logos. You want the word to become alive in you, which means it must be welcomed. It must be welcomed, and the excitement. You say, but how will I know? How will I know when it's reached the heart? So how do I know it's gotten deep enough? He tells you. He says, effectual doer. You know you're pointed to the heart when you've connected what it said and what you've heard to something different you're going to do because of it. Effectual doer. If you have not connected a point of action to the information, it hasn't traveled anywhere except your head. But once you connect an action in light of the information, you are forcing the word down. How do you know when it's hit its mark? He tells you. When it hits its mark, it will become to you, oh, I love this, the perfect law of liberty. You're going to begin to flow. Stuff you used to have to try to do, you're going to see just happening. Stuff you used to force yourself to do, you're going to see, I did that and didn't make myself have to do that. You don't have to make a baby kick his mother's belly. It's the nature of life in the womb. She doesn't have to say, move, baby, move, baby, move, baby, move, baby. She's going to have to say, stop moving, stop moving, stop moving. I can't sleep, because the new life is going to be liberated to express itself. The Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. But here's the part. For it is God who is at work within you, watch this, both to will and to do his good pleasure. He's not only going to give you the power to do it, he's going to give you the want to do it. So you're going to start flowing and not forcing, because this perfect law, once it starts shooting out body parts, is going to be a liberating experience. And you will be what John 8 called free indeed. He called, if the Son shall make you free, because this is now not just the word written, it's the word, living word. Jesus Christ is inside the Son making you free. You're not forcing yourself to be free, because now liberation is set in. Because the word of God has moved beyond the head into the soul and penetrated the heart, that's going boom, 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 and pumping life to the soul. So that the soul is being transformed by the Spirit, not being managed by itself. We're all concerned about our girls in particular and the internet, because we all know there are predators on the internet who are looking for vulnerable young ladies. The young lady sits down and she begins typing, and she's in one of these chat rooms, and some smooth talking dude comes on who she's never seen. She's never talked to, but he introduces himself to her online. They meet online. They exchange names and pleasantries. She's already heard from her mother and her father, don't be talking to strangers on the chat room, on the computer. She's already heard that. She's already heard in school, don't do that. She knows that you ought not to do that, but he seems nice enough. Every day they're talking online, but she's never seen him. She's never heard his voice. They're exchanging, watch this, the word. They're just sharing the word. But all of a sudden, after a while, the word becomes alive and active. She finds her heart now connecting with a person she's never seen, never talked to, because the word became alive. So that now you have a 15, 16, 17-year-old girl willing to meet this stranger at a coffee house, run away with him, and she's never even seen him or talked to him physically because of the power of the word. And has been changed from everything she was made, raised to believe, everything she ever learned in school not to do, simply because of the power of the word over the internet. Where if an evil man is able to change the nature of a life, how much more the perfect word by the perfect God, when interacted by his people and received by them, cannot transform them and us and me into the people we were made to be. Receive the implanted word, and your soul will never be the same.
If you're ready to take God at his word, the first step is to receive his gift of eternal life through Christ. What does that mean? Dr. Evans will be glad to explain it to you. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the top menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. You'll find some helpful videos and some free downloadable resources to help you. TonyEvans.org is also the place to go to get a copy of the message you heard today. Just search on the title, Ruling Through the Word. The full-length version includes all you heard today, plus much more we couldn't fit into our broadcast time. And today's message was just one part of Dr. Evans' 12-message series called Reclaiming Your Spiritual Authority, a look at becoming the rulers God intended us to be. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours as our thank you gift for a contribution of any amount, as long as you make your request before time runs out on Thursday. Don't put it off. Make arrangements today at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open around the clock to help you, again at 1-800-800-3222. We may say we believe in prayer, but do we live like it? Next time, Dr. Evans will reveal how we can, as he talks about why prayer isn't just something we say, but what we hear as well. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.